Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Well, good morning and welcome to First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. Why don't we stand together as we sing this great song of praise, This Is Our God. Let's sing this together.
Sin and shame.
They were like prisons.
They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls were all mine.
glad that you've come to worship with us today. I got to be honest, while you're standing here for just a second, I don't mean to offend anybody, but most of y'all don't look very excited to be here. Now, I'm not trying to make a judgment call. What I'm saying is I understand you were awakened at 1:30 in the morning to loud sirens going off. Who got up and went to their safe place at 1:30? Whose safe place was their bed at 1:30? Who stayed there? All right. Well, you still woke up, and some of you are groggy from that right now. So here's what I want to do. Now, listen, it's okay. We're a Baptist church. Don't think we're a little too Bapticostal, but it's going to be all right. We just sang, "This is our God. He bore the cross. He beat the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim." And so we have to make sure we can have the joy and honor of the Lord. So here's what we're going to do, a little cheer this morning. And I know a lot of people that maybe aren't used to doing this in church, but here we go. Get with me, okay? Ready? Give me a J.
J.
See, now I scared some of you already, okay? I know. It's okay. We're going to get through it. So give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
An S.
S.
A U.
U.
An S.
S.
What's that spell?
Jesus.
Who do we love?
Jesus.
Who do we serve?
Jesus.
All right. Now, listen, I'm ready to sing again. We won't do it again, but that was good. I'm so glad. Have a seat, guys. It's great to see you. And I'm so glad we've come to worship King Jesus together. We have so much to celebrate today. And we are thankful that the storms passed by without damage. We're thankful that we have an opportunity to come and worship together. God and his sovereignties brought us together. And so thankful for this opportunity. If you are a guest participating at home, I hope you cheered right along with us. And if you will let us know you're there by following the prompts on the screen. If you're in the room and you're a guest, we'd love to have your information. If you'll fill out that worship registration attached to the worship guide and place it in the offering box as you leave, or you can scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you, and there's a little registration, really simple, and we'd love to have that. We will not show up at your house unannounced. We will send you a gift in the mail, so we hope that you will do that for us. We'd love to make that happen for you, and we're thankful for that. Each week, we pray for a different church. Our church of the week this week is Union Grove No. 1 Baptist Church. Their pastor is Whit Hibbs. It's a congregation across the city from us, and we're so thankful for their ministry. We're thankful for who they are and for how they reach people for Christ. Let's pray for them and for God to move in power among them today. Our missionary of the week is Chelsea Matthews, who serves in Zuime in Ghana. And so Chelsea was here a few weeks ago for our missions conference. It was wonderful to see her, but we continue to pray for her and support her, and let's pray for their ministry. It's the end of the day now there in West Africa where she is, and so we just pray that she'll get a restful night's sleep tonight. And then we're praying for the Pamiri people of Tajikistan. That is our unreached people group that we have adopted. I'm hoping you will join me every day in praying for gospel presence there, praying for God to send someone. Let's pray as we carry on in worship. Father God, it's an honor and a privilege to come. I love this faith family. I love looking out across the congregation and seeing people that I know and love and care for, and people that we have been connected together, some for weeks and some for decades. God, what a blessing that is to be with this faith family. Lord, my prayer is that everything we offer to you today, our mind's attention, our heart's affection, our words from our mouth, our lifted hands in praise, our attention in all that we do, Lord, that everything we offer to you would come from a true place of gratitude. You have been so good to us, and we thank you for that. God, I pray for Union Grove No. 1. I pray that you'd move in power among them today. I pray for Whit as he brings a message, that you'd speak through him. Lord, that their church, that 2025 would be their best year of ministry that congregation's ever had, that you would bring revival to them. Lord, we pray for Chelsea and her work there in Ghana. We pray for the remainder of the funds needed to build the library and meeting room for all the children and all the things that happen there. Lord, we pray for wisdom for her and what her next step of ministry looks like, that you would be her guide in all things. Lord, we pray for the Pamiri people in Tajikistan. Father, 250,000+ people stuck, surrounded by mountains in a sense, closed off from gospel presence, from people that know you. Lord, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit would speak to them in dreams. My prayer is that your Holy Spirit would work in their heart, that we would find the truth of Romans 1, where that nature itself reveals who you are. And Father, I pray you would put connections to people and circumstance where someone who knows you would be able to share with someone there, that the beginning process of them being reached for you would happen. Father, I pray that you'd allow us an opportunity to be a part of them coming to know you in the days and weeks and years ahead. Father, may we pray for them because we truly believe believe that someday when Revelation 5 and Revelation 7 comes to fruition and people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language gather together, what a joy it's going to be able to say, we prayed for the Pimiri, and here they are gathered around the throne. So God, we ask that you'd move among them. Lord, I pray for every church in our city today. God, I pray for this, the people in this room today. Lord, we need you. We need you to speak. We need you to reveal your truth through the word to us. Father, we want and desire to touch you with our worship. We want and desire to bless you as we sing. So, Father, we will sing to you now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a song that you might know from years past called Be Thou My Vision, a beautiful prayer. Let's stand together as we sing this to the Lord.
Earth, and that is Jesus Christ. So we sing about that name now. In your name we do pray. Amen. Folks, we'll continue worshiping together as we sing this wonderful praise song, Isn't the Name. Let's sing that out together. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? All the world can come to him to have their sins removed. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Isn't the name?
isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Son of God and one of us, lover of our souls. Isn't the name of Jesus beautiful? Eternal King.
Truth. I want to invite you to join me on your knees today for just a moment as we call on the name of Jesus. Some of you need a miracle in your life, and we want to ask the only one who can do it, because we surely can't do it, to do it. Some of you have family members that desperately need the Lord, or they need a miracle or a healing or something to happen in their life. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Listen, friends, we don't let this hour pass us by with business as usual. We need to call on Jesus. So as we sing this little chorus, Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name. As we sing it, I invite you, join me in prayer. Let's pray for God to move among us, for him to move in your life, for him to move in mine, for him to move in our family. Would you join me? Let's sing it, Don.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name.
Sing, Master.
Master.
I'll make a confession to you before I pray. At 1:30 this morning, a lot of times we kind of just sleep through those things. But today we got up as a family and everybody went to the hallway. And I'll be honest, all seven of us there in the hallway, I made the statement that I'm not sure all seven of us had been together in a room, it seems like, since Christmas. Because our lives are so busy and schedules are so in different ages and everyone. But I was also reminded then when we got back in the bed later how each and every one in my immediate family, all seven of us, have different needs and different things, and to stop and to pray for each one for a moment individually. And I know I'm not the only one. You pray for your family. You pray for your friends. We pray for our city. We pray for our nation. We pray for the world. May we continue to realize that we're calling on the one who has all the answers and the only answers. Father God, it's a blessing to pray for my own family. It's a blessing to pray for the families of other people. It's a burden of grace. It's a burden we gladly bear because we know that we are speaking to and inquiring of the very one who is totally trustworthy, and that is you. So God, we will bring our requests to you. for our family, for our friends. Lord, we bring our request to you for our neighbors. We ask you to save people in our city who don't know you. We ask you to bring peace in our city. We ask you to move in our nation. We ask you to move around the world. Lord, we're asking you to continue to draw men and women to yourself. And God, I very specifically want to ask that you'll bring revival to Albertville First Baptist Church. Lord, bring revival to this place. Let it begin in me. Let it begin in each person in this room. God, that 142-year-old congregation could have its best year ever in 2025. We as well. Lord, that more people would come to know you and be discipled. That more people would give their lives to you and walk through baptistry waters. Father, that more men will commit to pray for and care for one another and stand and be the godly men you called them to be. That more ladies will commit to protect one another and encourage one another and be there for each other. That more students will fall more in love with you as we see them doing more and more in our student ministry. That more children will come to know you and grow in you like never before. God, I pray that we would not end this year just saying, oh, it was a good year, but God, that we could say it was a transforming year by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we have good news to share. Help us to live good news lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. But while you do, I want to set the stage. We begin a brand new message series today called Good News, and it's going to take us up through Palm Sunday, which will be here before we know it. And it's about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel, but it's not just a message of salvation every week. It is going to be how the good news affects our lives and how we're to live our lives differently because of the good news. And so today, let me tell you, we will be all these weeks in the book of Luke and in the book of Romans, and it's going to be interesting how we try to connect the two together. That may seem strange to you, but there's so much truth that we'll find in Luke that it is then backed up through the book of Romans, and so that's where we'll be. But for today, I want to give you a baseline where we're starting, some definitions and some understanding of what it means to be good news people. And the best way I can think to start is with an illustration. Back when Lily and I lived in New England, we were about 2.5 hours from Boston, and about once a month I had work to do in Boston with the Baptist Convention of New England. And while we were there in the early 2000s is when Boston was finishing something. It was a tunnel project, an $8 billion tunnel project, $8 billion tunnel project that was called the Big Dig. And at that time, traffic was a nightmare in Boston. It's still not great, but they built a 3.5-mile tunnel under so many of those skyscrapers, which is scary, crazy to think about, and then underwater at certain points in different parts, 8 lanes wide at certain points, tunnel underneath there. And I'll never forget when it was the month to head down for my meeting, and they first had it open. It was the first time it was officially open, and I was excited and a little bit nervous about having to go through it. Didn't know how that was going to go. I did not know my way around Boston very well. And if you didn't know it, Bostonians are not the friendliest with their traffic patterns and how they do things. And so back in the early 2000s, your phone didn't have GPS like it does now. Your phone will get you anywhere you want to go. But I had one of those Garmin knockoffs that was similar to Garmin, but it was a little box that sat on my dashboard. And I sat it there and I programmed in where it was to go. And so it was this Midwestern voice, someone like maybe someone from Kansas, a male who was the voice on this Garmin GPS, very soothing, very plain, very simple. He felt like he knew what he was doing. And I was on the Big Dig, and I had gone now under Interstate 93 and was going into the tunnel. And as you get under there, I got nervous because I didn't know it had multiple turns in there. I thought it was going to be one straight shot. You come out on the other side, you're done. But there's all these options underground where you've got to go and what you've got to do. It's a little scary. And so he's navigating and telling me where to go. And then all of a sudden, he says, signal lost, navigate on your own, loser. It's what I felt like he said, loser. I added loser, but it felt like he said that. And so it was very scary to figure out where to go. And so I ended up making one final just judgment call and took a road I thought I was supposed to and ended up out on the other side. pretty big sigh of relief, but the craziest thing happened. He ended up on the Bayside, and this is crazy. I'm not making this up. It's not just a story for the pulpit. It's real. When I went into the tunnel, it was that Midwestern male voice, went through the tunnel, lost the signal. When I came out on the downtown side of Boston, it was a female British accent. I'm convinced she knew about the tea party thing, right? You know, but anyway, it was weird. And so I got through it just fine. GPS has come a long way since then. You won't lose signal like that much anymore, and now it's on your phone. But you can still have problems, and here's the point of where I'm going. Last Friday, just a couple of days ago, I was on the other side of Center. I was out in the middle of what I would call nowhere. It was in the country, in the county, in a place that I had really not been before. And I was there, and it got a call. It was time for me to come back home. And so I knew I could, you know, find my way to Gadsden probably and come the long way, but I figured there was a quicker way. So I just took out my phone, and I opened up the maps, and I hit the home button. And when I hit the home button, it popped up and said, you are 49 minutes away from your home, which seemed awful fast to me, but I said, okay. So I took off driving, took me through Collinsville and around into Crossville and all this, and then I realized pretty quickly that it was taking me to my old home. Your GPS ever do that? Hit the home button? So we lived somewhere else a year and a half ago, several miles out in the country we lived, and then we moved a year and a half to less than a mile from this spot right here into the city. And so I had changed things in my phone. I had changed settings to try to get that right. And sometimes when I hit the home button, it takes me to my street here, a mile from here. And sometimes when I hit the home button, it'll take me out to Kuykendall Avenue on the far side of the county. It's very strange. And so I figured it out before I got there. If you're wondering if I went all the way to my old house, I did not. However, what if I had? What if I tell, I'm going home, it tells me how to get home. I go to the house, I get there, our little yellow house with the nice little 10 acres. We drive down the long driveway, we go up to the house, and I realize there's other cars there, but I get out, I knock on the door, I go on in anyway. Listen, the people who live there would not appreciate that. They wouldn't want me eating their food. Their clothes aren't going to fit. I don't like their couch. None of that stuff's going to match up for me. But here's what I want to say to you as a baseline as we start this series. I don't live there anymore, so I don't need to go there anymore. And the fact is, once you have experienced the gospel and the good news, the old you doesn't live there anymore. You now live somewhere new. The way I would word it this way, if you're writing it down, simple enough. The old you doesn't live here anymore. Somebody say amen to that. You are new. You are new in Him. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we have been made new. And so we don't have to go back to the old way. We don't have to go back to the old place. But it is really easy for your personal navigation system in your life, every time you get stressed, every time you get anxious, every time you have fear, every time you have anger, every time you are lonely, every time you are depressed, every time you are hungry, any of those things that happen, it's really easy to navigate yourself right on back to your old way of living. Right? Am I the only one? It happens really easily. Well, friends, there are 93 verses in the New Testament that use the same Greek word that we get the word gospel or the phrase good news from. Same word. 93 times in the New Testament, you will see that word, the gospel and the good news. And it over and over reminds us of what Jesus has done in our lives, wants to do in our lives, and offers to us. But there are hundreds of other verses all throughout the Bible that talk about, once the gospel's in our lives, all the good things that God is doing in us, that He does around us, and that He will do through us. So over the next few weeks, we will focus on the gospel, the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. But in doing so, we're going to talk about the fact that there is good news for your marriage. Aren't you glad? There is good news for your relationships. There is good news for your health. There's good news for your finances. It might not be what you think it's going to be, but there's good news for what God's ultimate plan is. There's good news for your fears. There's good news for your troubles. So we're going to spend a majority of the time in Luke and then part of the time in Romans. But let's start today with the basic definition. If you're writing things down, this is very simple. And that is this: the gospel is the good news of Jesus and His salvation. When you hear someone say, I want you to share the gospel, it means they want you to share the good news of Jesus and his salvation. So when someone says, we need to practice gospel living, what they mean is we need to live in such a way that our lives look like we have experienced the good news of salvation. When someone says, share the gospel with someone, it's that our mouths will verbally share the truth of the good news of salvation. Let me read a verse to you, Luke chapter 2, if you've already turned, verse 8. This will be set up in the context of the nativity story. I realize Christmas is a couple of months past us now, but listen to this. It says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for I bring you, here it is, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. He says it's good news. It's the gospel. It's good news of great joy for all people. Friends, Jesus is good news for everyone. Amen? Not just for some. He's good news for everyone. Listen to what it says in Romans. Again, a simple verse from each passage to kick us off today. Romans 1:16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, that word again, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, if you're here in this room, I'm pretty sure you're the Greek. We're the Greek. I'm the Greek. He's saying it's good news. We are not ashamed of the gospel, the story of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus, because it is what brings salvation to all people, the Jew and the Greek. But here's what I've come to learn about my own life. It is really hard for the unbelieving world to see Jesus when we struggle to live the good news life. There's a good news life, and that's really what we're going to talk about for 2 months, is how to live that. It's so easy to let stress, it's so easy to let busyness, to let trouble, trial, you can even let boredom do this. It will lead you right on back to your old way of living. Your phone's a powerful GPS, but your heart and your mind is a much stronger navigation system than you're ever going to have in your phone, because it will lead you every time back to places you don't want to go. You may say, Chris, I don't know. Let me just give you my own example. In my own life, when I'm stressed, when I'm worried, when I'm concerned, when I'm angry, when I'm dealing with something, when I'm busy, maybe when I'm bored, the reality is, if I'm not careful, my heart and my mind will lead me right on back to my old habits like a nice warm blanket. And if I'm not careful, my attitude will lead me right back to that old attitude, like on a cozy couch just sitting there. And if I'm not careful, my heart and my mind will lead me right, my anger and pride right back, like I'm eating on that, like a dining on a fine meal at what used to be my house, but it's not my house anymore. Listen, it happens so simply in our lives. We have to remember we don't live there anymore. God has done something new. Jesus has done a work in you. Is it true? Come on, has Jesus done a work in you? Yes. The gospel, the good news of salvation, is doing a work in you, and the Holy Spirit is working to finish a work in you. So what I want to do for the remainder of our time now is really not focus on any clever words I've got. I just want to show you a few scripture passages and just read them, because they speak for what the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, has done for those that know him. Everything I'm about to tell you is some of the best news you're ever going to hear. Not just the best news of the day, the best news of your life. But we just need to be reminded as a baseline before we jump into the practical aspects of this series. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Find your life in this. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Did you hear that? That's good news. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? Listen, I don't know about you, but I deserve to have some charges brought against me from time to time. How about you? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God has made you right before him. Verse 34, who is to condemn? I condemn myself sometimes, do you? It says this, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. You have Jesus interceding for you when someone's trying to condemn you. Man, that's powerful. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? It tries. Distress? It tries. Persecution? It'll try. Famine, nakedness, danger, sword. But as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear those words? Friends, that's good news for your life. We must start with the baseline of the good news of what salvation has done for you, what Jesus has done for you. That's power in those words, no matter what your circumstance is. How about this? Let me give you an Old Testament passage. It's not just in the New. The Old Testament idea pointing us toward the good news of the gospel. Psalm 103. Listen to the psalmist's words. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, we've done our best to bless the name of God this morning as we've worshiped him. We've done this. But have we done this next part? He says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeemed your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Did you hear what the psalmist said? He said, you have to remember. Friends, the most important thing we can do in worship is remember. Remember what God has done in our lives. He says, forget not all his. We cannot forget. We have to remember what he has done. He has forgiven your sins. Who in here, with a show of hands, is glad God has forgiven your sins? Come on now, that's a ridiculous question, right? We are so glad. Who heals all your diseases? You may say, Chris, I'm still struggling with a disease on this earth. Maybe so, but I'm telling you this, there will be a time you will breathe your last breath on this earth and you will wake up in eternity healed of all your diseases. God may heal you today, he may heal you next week, or he may heal you the day he takes you home, but he heals you of your diseases. The scripture is clear. We can rest in that. And the more sick we are, the more we can rest in that. Who redeems your life from the pit. Have you ever been in a pit? If you're like me, you might have jumped in. Listen, oh, he's so good. He redeems us from the pit. We must remember, let me give you a couple more scriptures really quickly just to focus on the scripture. How about Luke chapter 12? Here's a passage that you'll know the overall passage very well because it makes sense. It talks about how God provides for us. But there's a verse in the middle that I think we miss so often, and I love the way it's phrased. It says this in Luke 12. He's talking about God providing for us as his people like he provides for the animals and the birds of the air. Now listen to verse 32. Luke 12, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And here's a verse I've talked about it dozens of times. Listen to it. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, we like to focus on that part. I like to teach about that part. I like to help people understand that it doesn't say where your heart is, your treasure will follow. It says the opposite. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Where you give your money, where you put your attention, where you put your focus, where you give your talents, where you give your strength, your heart is going to be led to that. It's not that you find something you love and you'll give it all your money, time, and effort. No, you give your money, time, and effort to something and your heart will follow. The scripture's clear there. Now, I love to teach about that, but if we're not careful, we'll miss what it said. Go back to that first verse. Listen to what it says. I love this. Fear not, little flock. He's been talking about birds earlier, talking about sheep earlier. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Just sit on that for a minute. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, what does that mean? The kingdom of God, the power and the presence and the manifestation of God at work in this world around us, Him ruling and reigning, it's His good pleasure to give us that kingdom, to let us experience His power, to let us experience the personhood of Jesus, walking with Him, knowing Him. It is God's good pleasure, not just God's duty. He says it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Friends, if you can't remember any other verse today, write that one down. Grab a hold of that one when you're feeling down, when you need it, when things are a struggle, that it is God's good pleasure to give you His kingdom and let you be a person that walks in His kingdom. And everywhere you go, the King goes. Everywhere you place your foot, the King goes. He's already there, but He goes with you. We're part of His kingdom. What a joy. What an honor. Couple more passages really quick. I know these don't work together, but they're to lay the baseline for the series. Galatians 2:20. You know this one well. It says this, I have been crucified with Christ, Paul says. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We focus on the crucified with Christ part, but you realize what he said right here. I love how Paul David Tripp words it in his devotion. He says, this verse reminds us that God is with us now, not just the day we were saved, not just the day we die and go to heaven for all eternity. It says right here, the life we live now, we live in Him. He is with you. Jesus is with you. Come on, Jesus is with you. Amen. He's with you right now, and I hope this helps you to find courage for how to live and courage to live the good news life and how to walk in that. One last passage I'm going to focus on here towards the end. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's Paul again in verse 17. You know this one well as well. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, but the new has come. Now, I would stop right here and say, just like I told you though, I'm new in Christ. I know it. But boy, my heart and my mind will navigate me right on back to my old self and my old home and my old way of living. So we have to take the truth. It's more than just knowing this. You got to decide to live it. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, it's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen, guys, God did not just save you. He gave you the ministry of helping others come to know Him. We weren't just reconciled to God. We're supposed to help reconcile others. It's your ministry and your calling. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting, don't forget that word, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. I love that word entrusted. It says we've been entrusted to this message of reconciliation. God trusted you with His message of good news. God trusted me with the gospel the day He saved me. He's trusted you with it. He's trusted me. So here's what I would ask you. We can trust God. Can God trust you, though? Are we going to do something with what we've been entrusted with? Can I be honest? Apart from good news living, this message doesn't hold water just coming from our mouth and not being lived out. It's truth, but others around us are going to say, I doubt it. So I want them to see it in me. In my stress, I want them to see I can turn to Jesus no matter what. In my struggles, I want them to see that the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, of salvation in my life, reminds me of who I am in Him. But guys, one of the most important ways we're ever going to do that, myself included and you, is we have to go back to remembering. Your memory is such a key. It's the key to worship. Go back to Psalm 103, that we would forget not all His benefits, that we would remember what He's done for us. I know I tell stories about my own life, but honestly, I don't tend to, I really don't tell super personal ones. I just tell stories that I just try to be a little bit respectful in that way. But I want to tell you one quick story. My father has some health issues and some pretty strong memory issues. And to not go into great detail, but Friday I was with him where he lives, and there were about 38 residents there. It was a Valentine party. And I mean, when you're at a place with people who struggle with their memory and you're having a Valentine party, what do? You bring in a Willie Nelson impersonator. And so we had a Willie Nelson impersonator. He was good. I was impressed. And so he was singing not just Willie songs. He was singing Frank Sinatra as Willie Nelson. He was singing ABBA as Willie Nelson. He was singing. He was really good though. It was fun. And so, by the way, Willie lives in Coleman. Didn't know if you guys knew that or not. But anyway, so it was great. And but here's what struck me so importantly for someone who struggles to really remember a lot of what's happening around him and make a connection in a lot of ways. When he was singing some of those older songs from the 60s and 70s and then even into the 80s, it was interesting to watch him go around the room. He did this so masterfully. I was so impressed with the guy. And he was fine, but then he would take that microphone and hand it to one of them, honestly handed it to my father, and twice my father, who had struggled with certain memories in a pretty big way, knew every word to every song and could just sing. It was a special moment. But it was such a reminder to me of something, and that's all I'll say about that, such a reminder to me that our minds are incredible tools. Sometimes those tools get locked up, sometimes those tools become weapons, and sometimes those tools are used just as they're supposed to be. But to know that through song, it could trigger back some memories that were just fun and good, that was good to me. But friends, it takes just as, and that was a powerful moment because it was not a normal moment of what we've been living through, and it was a powerful moment. And then to stop and realize that this whole idea in Psalm 103 of remembering, to me, it's an even more miraculous, powerful moment because the scripture will show us multiple places that we need to remember. Remember the good news of Jesus. Remember the grace of what God's done in your life. Remember of what he did for you yesterday when today is so much trouble. Remember what he did for you a year ago when this week is going to be hard. Remember as you're trying to stand strong and do the right thing of how he saved you and changed your life and has forgiven you over and over and over again. Friends, I just want to encourage you, and I hope it brings a song to your mind and your life. Forget not all his benefits. Remember the good news of Jesus. Remember what he's done in your life. When you're down, remember. When you're struggling, remember. When you're in pain, remember. When you're about to breathe your last breath someday, let's remember. God has been so good to us. The good news is salvation, but the good news is so much more. Would you bow with me for just a second? We could go through and quote again from Romans chapter 5, from Luke chapter 12, from Psalm 103, from 2 Corinthians 5. And I would encourage you to look up all of those this week. But the reality is, if we just go back to Psalm 103 and just make a renewed commitment to remember what he has done in our lives, that the next time that we're struggling and we want to let our built-in navigation system of the heart and the mind lead us back to our old house and our old way, that we'll stop and say, hey, remember this, I don't live there anymore. And friend, you don't live there anymore. You are new in him. We are good news people living a good news life. Father, take these words. Take your own scripture. I know that they don't come back void. I pray that they would touch our hearts. Take the words that I've shared. I pray that you'd use them to remind us of what it means and how to live. And God, help us to make a renewed commitment to the good news in this 6 to 8 weeks to come. But starting today, In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.